All righty. Well, with all of that being said, tonight we are going to talk about our eyes. Open our eyes. Open our eyes. I don't know about you all, but I wear contacts, and when I'm not wearing contacts, I wear glasses. And here just recently, I had to graduate to trifocals. Yeah. Trifocal contacts can be a little interesting, let me just tell you. And I'd been putting it off and and my doctor finally was like, you know what, Krista, I think we're going to have to finally take the jump because I had been holding off. And I will admit, I was starting to really have some trouble. So being able to have these trifocals have helped me a lot. But boy, is it interesting. It's hard to get adjusted to. I couldn't see as far away, couldn't see as close up. Then I put in the contacts, then I can see close up, but can't see far away, all of the things. But open our eyes. Many years ago, I heard that the eyes are the windows to the soul. You know, many times you can look at someone's eyes and you can see whether they're not feeling well. You can see if they have a headache or they're tired. There are also times you can look in someone's eyes and you can see that there is something in their life that they're happy about or excited about. The eyes do tell a lot about us. I know from my own personal experience, my face tends to show everything. If I'm feeling it or thinking it, it's going to show on my face, whether it's my eyes or some sort of expression. But the Bible has a lot to say about the eyes, both physically and spiritually. There are many miracles in the Bible where Jesus was walking here on earth, where he healed different ones of blindness. And during those healings, it wasn't just a healing for their physical well-being, but it was also an outward showing of Jesus's authority and his power. And Jesus performing these miracles, they demonstrated to those around that saw these things. It showed that he was different. It showed his authority. In Psalms 34:15, it says, "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry." In this scripture, the righteous are those who are born again, Christians, followers, and seekers of Jesus. And the phrase, "eyes of the Lord," ascribe a human-like quality to God. The eyes of God are everywhere at all times because he is omnipresent. He is at all places at all times. He is also omniscient. He is all-knowing. And he is sovereign over all things, so nothing escapes him. 2 Chronicles 16, in the first part of verse 9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him." The eyes of the Lord also refer to God's individualized care. Psalms 33:18, it says, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy." I am so thankful for the eyes of God that are open and aware and watching, especially when I consider that in my own eyes, sometimes I'm not as aware. Sometimes I'm not as watching. Sometimes I'm not as inclined to notice what all's going on around me. I can even be spiritually blind or physically unaware of what is happening. Often I have to pray for my spiritual eyes to be open. Have you ever prayed that prayer before? Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open my spiritual eyes. Help me to be able to see things through spiritual eyes, not through these fleshly eyes. Because when we just look through things through our natural fleshly, we may not always see what all's truly going on. There's an account in 2 Kings chapter 6, and boy, do I like this. 2 Kings chapter 6, and I'm just going to give you an idea of what this story, this account is of. It tells the story of the king of Syria making war against Israel. But the king of Syria is upset that Israel seems to always know what his plans are against him. What happens to be that the prophet Elisha keeps warning Israel of the plans of this king of Syria. And so the king of Syria gets frustrated at Elisha because Elisha keeps ruining his plans because he keeps warning Israel. So Elisha is in Dothan, and the king of Syria sends out horses and chariots to surround the city that Elisha is in. The next morning, the servant of Elisha wakes up and goes out, and he sees an army surrounding the city. He sees this army of horses and chariots all around the city. And out of fear, he runs and he goes and he gets Elisha and he asks him, "What will we do?" So Elisha goes out with his servant and he tells his servant in verse 16, "Do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those that are with them." Because Elisha was seeing something in the spiritual that his servant was not seeing. Elisha was being able to see past what just his physical eyes could see. And in verse 17, Elisha prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. When his spiritual eyes were open, the servant was able to see that God had sent an army to also surround Elisha and the city. And these were not just a regular army, but this was an army full of horses with chariots of fire. There was something more going on in the heavenlies that the physical eye could not see, and the spiritual eye needed to be open to see. And when the spiritual eye was open to see that God had sent this army of horses and chariots of fire, then the servant's eyes were able to see the provision and the protection of God and what God had sent on their behalf. He needed his spiritual eyes to be open, not just his physical eyes. I love that. Could you imagine praying, "Lord, open my eyes, open my spiritual eyes," and being able to see a whole army standing before you, an army of the Lord with chariots of fire? That would be a pretty amazing sight to behold. Unfortunately, some people are blind spiritually. Jeremiah 5:21 says, and it warns of foolish people who are without understanding, who have eyes and see not. 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Our natural fleshly eyes are not able to discern or to understand the things of God. It's spiritual sight that comes through the Holy Spirit. Spiritual vision comes through the help of Holy Spirit. Those who reject Christ and his word are spiritually blind and cannot understand the truth of the scriptures, for the truth sounds foolish to them. Romans 8:8-9 says, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. In other words, those outside of Christ are not of God because their lives are steeped in the things of the world. the world with its passions, the world with its desires, the things that trip us up, their eyes are blind to the Spirit of God. 1 John 2:15-16, John tells us that if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him, but rather that person's love is from the world. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 4:4 that the cause of spiritual blindness is because the God, little g, of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Rejection of Jesus and walking in sin causes spiritual blindness to God and His Word. It causes spiritual blindness. Have you ever met someone that it just seemed like no matter what you ever tried to say or do, it just was like they just never got it? It was like they just didn't get it. No matter how many times you tried to explain or make it clear, they just didn't get it. Just seems like no matter how many times they keep choosing the same thing over and over again and they keep having the same consequences over and over again, they still just keep repeating them because they are blind. They are blind to their foolish behavior and thinking. Their eyes have been blinded by the God, again, little g, of the world. As Christians, we are to have spiritual eyes, eyes that are open. But on occasion, our eyes can become dim because we're not listening to Holy Spirit or allowing Holy Spirit to work in us as we should. We can go around almost in a fog, unaware, not tapped into the things around us that are spiritually happening. But we need spiritual eyes, right? For we need wisdom, we need discernment, we need insight that can only come through the working of Holy Spirit in us. Have you ever asked the Lord for discernment? Have you ever asked the Lord for knowledge, for wisdom? It tells us in the scripture that if we ask of wisdom, He will give it to us, right? There are times that situations are going on in our life, maybe in the lives of our family members, maybe something at work, maybe in the life of someone that we love, and we just don't understand what's quite going on, but we just know there's something else there. And we just have to pray for God to give us spiritual eyes to be able to see into that situation and for God to give us the guidance and the direction that we need to have the discernment and the wisdom that we need. I know there's been many times I've had to ask the Lord for that. Lord Jesus, please guide me, direct me. Help me to know what's going on here. Help me to have discernment here in this situation. So I want to tell you just a little bit about a scripture that is found in Corinthians. But first of all, let's look at a little bit of the backstory of Corinthians. The book of Corinthians is written by Paul to the church of Corinth. And Corinth was considered the most important city in Greece during Paul's day. And it was a bustling hub of worldwide commerce. There was money and trade and industry that was taking place in this city. This city was filled with shrines and temples. And the most prominent was the temple of Aphrodite, who is considered to be the, again, little g, god of love. There was over 1,000 temple prostitutes. Corinth became notorious for its evil ways and its evil things that went on in that city. In fact, to act like a Corinthian meant to indulge in debauchery, immoral behavior, and prostitution. So here is Paul writing a letter to the church that is in Corinth. Corinth had a lot of sin. And because of that, the church of Corinth was constantly being faced with this evil, this sin that was all around them, that they were constantly seeing. I cannot imagine 1,000 temple prostitutes. I cannot imagine all of the debauchery, immoral behavior that was taking place. So Paul was trying to write them not only to encourage them, but also to instruct them because of where they were living and what was going on. Paul is writing them because he needs to address a variety of problems that were happening within the church itself due to how they were living their own lives. So in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 1 through 5, it starts out with Paul talking about how he came to Corinth. He came to them not in his own wisdom, but he came to them in demonstration of the Spirit and power of God. It wasn't Paul's wisdom that he was coming to them. He was coming to them by the power of God and through the help of Holy Spirit. So in verse 6, Paul continues with, Yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature. A wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory. The wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood, for if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard and which have not entered the human heart, all that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us, God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among people knows the thoughts of a person except the spirit of the person that is in him? So also the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. We also speak these things not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. After reading this scripture and knowing that Paul was writing this to the church of Corinth and this church was struggling with its environment, I was talking to you earlier about what was going on in the city. And so here is the church. The church is in this city and it's struggling in its environment by all that it's surrounded by. It's an environment of corruption and every conceivable sin. An environment that unfortunately had crept inside the church. And it was causing the church to feel the pressure to adapt and go along with the ways of the city. We can understand why Paul would address the need for God's wisdom given through the Spirit of God. Think about that. So here is this church in this terribly sinful, sinful city. But unfortunately, the environment of that city was beginning to come into the church itself. And the church itself was beginning to adapt and accept the sinful ways of the city. So here, Paul is addressing them that they need spiritual wisdom. This church needed their spiritual eyes open so that they could discern what was going on around them and to be aware of what they had allowed to enter into the church. We need our spiritual eyes open, even inside of our churches. you know, Scott and I, we are working with students that are coming from all different backgrounds. In the past, whenever we've worked with youth, when we've worked with young adults and so forth, these were usually youth that had grown up in that church. These were youth that normally their parents or aunts or uncles or, you know, grandparents had gone to this church, and here they were in this church, and we were working with them. And so many times we knew the backstory of the youth and the young adults that we were working with. We knew what their upbringing was. We knew what kind of denomination they were from. We knew their church beliefs. And it's been really interesting because with what we're doing right now, we are getting students from all kinds of denominations, beliefs, the whole nine yards. And I'm just telling you, it's scary. Because not every church that is labeled church is truly following the Word of God. Because so much of the environment of the world has crept into church. And it's really, really sad, and it's really scary, because I could actually name off a couple of organizations and churches, denominations, and I'm not going to go there, that have been adopting the environment of the world. I don't know if it's because they think it's easier. I don't know if they think that it's less confrontational. I don't know if they think that it's more loving, more accepting, more tolerant, whatever the word is. I don't know what exactly, but let me tell you, it's not of the God of the Bible. And it's scary. Because it's leading many astray. It's leading many to believe that these things of the world can be adopted and accepted and tolerated in our churches. And not only that, not just in our churches, but in our own lives. We need spiritual eyes that are open, that are discerning, that are aware of the things that our environment is trying to so desperately. And it's not just creep in on us, it's push in on us. Not only do our eyes need to be open spiritually, but we also need to protect our eyes. This is going back to a verse we had mentioned earlier, 1 John 2:15-16. It says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world, for if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." I mentioned earlier the expression that the eyes are the windows to the soul. Well, in the Bible, Jesus refers to the eyes as the lamp of the body. Matthew 6:22, it says, "The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light." In this scripture, Jesus is describing the eye as a lamp which lights the entire body. Our eyes are the entrance to our hearts and minds, and they provide a doorway to our very souls. We need to protect our eyes. We need to protect what we are setting before our eyes. When Jesus describes the eyes as being good, he is referring not only to the physical ability to see and to see well, but he is also referring to the ability to perceive well. To perceive something is to become aware or conscious of something, come to realize or understand. according to Paul in 1 Corinthians, being able to perceive something, be able to become aware of, can only come through help of Holy Spirit. In Matthew 6, verse 23, Jesus continues on with saying, "But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" Spiritual blindness is equal to great darkness. Spiritual blindness is equal to trying to get through a room where it's pitch black. Have you ever had the lights go off and it's like you can't see anything? And it's just, you can't see the hand in front of you, and you're literally trying to feel around with your hands as you're walking through. That's what spiritual blindness is like. It's great darkness. We need our eyes to be opened spiritually, and this requires a life surrendered to God. This requires not following our desire for the things of this world, and this requires the leading and help of Holy Spirit. We need our eyes to be protected. We need our eyes to be guarded, for as Jesus said, they are the lamp of the body. Tina, will you go ahead and bring up that scripture for me that I asked you to bring up? I want to show you a couple of scriptures here tonight. Have you ever read a scripture over and over and over again and even quoted it, and it was like one day this light bulb goes off and you're like, oh, that's what that means? So I had that experience as I was studying and preparing this. And it's kind of funny because I know that I've read these scriptures. I've quoted these scriptures many times. But I want to use these scriptures to bring out the importance of lifting up our eyes to Jesus. To lifting up our eyes to Jesus. So in Psalms 121, verses 1 through 2, it says, "I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." Now in my Bible, off from Psalms 121, verses 1 through 2, there were these little tiny numbers that directed me to Jeremiah 3:23. Do you ever follow those little scriptures that are marked beside other little scriptures and see where they take you? I do. It's neat. You never know the connections. I'm always interested in the connections and so forth. So I went ahead and I turned to Jeremiah 3:23. And this is what I saw when I began to look a little bit deeper. That this verse in Psalms and this verse in Jeremiah have the same concept running through both. For in Jeremiah 3:23, it says, "Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel." So when you look at the first one, Psalms 121, we have to take into consideration that it says, "From whence comes my help?" question mark. So it's asking a question. Does my help come from the hills? And in Jeremiah 3:23, it says that hoping for salvation from the hills is in vain. So let me give you a little bit of backstory. High places, hills, mountains. In the Old Testament, in the book of Kings, there are many references to high places. Many references. And these high places are originally elevated pieces of ground which were dedicated to idol worship. So in the Old Testament, and we see this so much in the book of Kings, which is the account of the kings of Israel and Judah, they talk much about these high places. And these high places is where they would put these temples or altars to these idols, these false gods that they would worship. The book of Kings goes through and it lists these different kings of Israel and Judah. And we read whether the king was a good king or a bad king. And we can read where that king would either have torn down the high places, tore down some of the high places, or didn't tear down any of the high places. Y'all following me? All right. So whether the king was considered good or the king was considered bad had a lot to do with whether or not the high places were torn down during their reign. To what extent the high places were built up or torn down, it was a reflection on the king's reign as being good or bad. Now, some commentators believe that when the psalmist of Psalms 121 talks about, "I will lift up my eyes to the hills," that the psalmist is speaking of the high places where the altars to false gods had been. And in Jeremiah 3:23, when it's talking about salvation being in vain from the hills and mountains, it's referring to the same thing. So both scriptures, let's think about this, both scriptures are pointing past any false help and instead directing us to the place of our true help from the only true God himself. We can lift our eyes to God, not just to the hills that once held the temples and altars to false, worthless gods, but we can look to the true God who not only created heavens and mountains, but created the heavens and the earth. So this is how you would read it. "I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? No. My help comes from the Lord, who made the heaven and earth." When you read it that way, it gives a whole different understanding. This psalmist is saying, get past the hills that are the high places and get to the true God, because that's where your real help comes from. Get to the source of your help, which is the Lord himself, the one and only true God. It would be like when Paul would be saying to the church of Corinth, get past the environment that is around you and get your eyes on the real true God. Not the God of this world, little g, but get your eyes on the true God, big G, the only God. That's where your wisdom comes from. That's where your help comes from. That's where your discernment comes from. Get past this other stuff. Get your spiritual eyes open so you can see the spiritual side of things, not just this earthly junk that's going on. Get the crust off your eyes and see past and see the truth of what is happening, that God is in control. He is our help. He is our fortress. He is our refuge. Have you ever woke up in the morning and your eyes are just filled with crust? Doesn't look too pretty, does it? It doesn't feel good either. And when you wear mascara, sometimes you wake up and you have a little bit of it left over from the night before and you look like you have raccoon eyes. And it's like, this isn't looking so good. We need our spiritual eyes open. And that can only come through the help of Holy Spirit. We need the wisdom, the guidance, and the direction from God Himself. Let's go on and to finish up Psalms 121. Start back with verse 1. I will lift up mine eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made the heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is not asleep on the job, people. That's what it's saying. He's not asleep on the job. He's wide awake to everything that's going on. Verse 5, the Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Spiritualize. Because our earthly, fleshly eyes, they can fail us, can't they? We can be totally oblivious to what's going on around us. Something can come to us completely out of nowhere and we didn't even see it coming. It's called being blindsided. We don't want to be blindsided. That's kind of hard to say. We don't want to be blindsided. We want to be aware. And I honestly believe that we're at a time where we need to be more spiritually aware than we have probably needed in a really long time. Because there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on. I've often thought to myself, what if we were able to see what's going on around us spiritually with our physical eyes? I think for a lot of us, we'd be very weirded out by what was going on. There's a lot going on in the heavenlies. We're just these beings in this spiritual world. We're in this spiritual thing that's going on around us, right? There's a conflict between good and evil. There's a war that's going on. For the hearts and the souls of people. For the hearts and the minds of others that need Jesus. Guys, I believe that when my son was crying out to Jesus while he was literally wrecking, I believe that when he called upon the name of Jesus, I believe something happened in the spiritual. I do. I believe something happened in the spiritual. I believe that if my son could have seen with spiritual eyes in that very moment, he probably would have seen a bunch of angels around that truck and sliding him on out of the way of that big tanker that was coming and stopping him on top of that guardrail. I believe that. Why? Because we were praying and something was happening in the spiritual while something was happening in the physical. And if he could have seen with the spiritual eyes at that very moment, I think he would have seen, just like I said, some angels just right around that truck just saying, whoop, here we go. He said that the truck driver literally pulled off down the road and sat there for about a half hour. Probably scared the poor man to death. I hate that for him. I have thought of that poor truck driver so many times. Could you imagine going down the road at 65 miles an hour and there's this little truck facing you in your lane, in your eye to eye? I have thought of that person thinking, oh, Jesus, thank you for protecting him. Guys, we need to be aware of there are things that are happening in the spiritual, and we need our spiritual eyes open to see them. And that's only going to help happen through help of Holy Spirit. I want to be like Elisha's servant. Could you imagine having your spiritual eyes open and you getting to see those armies, that army of horses and chariots of fire? Woo! Who knows? Maybe you've had a few horses and chariots of fire around you a few times or two, but you didn't know it. You never know. If your spiritual eyes have been able to see it, who knows? You may have had a few armies surrounding you a few times. Because there was something going on in the spiritual, not just the physical. We also need to protect our eyes, right? Protect what we're looking upon. Protect what we're seeing. Protect what we're allowing ourselves to gaze upon and focus upon. And then lastly, we also want to make sure that when we are looking up, we're looking up to Jesus. We're looking past the high places. We're looking past the hills of false gods. We're looking past the environment that is around us. We're looking past the junk, and we're getting our eyes and our focus on Jesus. That's where our help comes from. That's where our help comes from.